You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Walao eh!
The Gulo Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word.
Alright, welcome back to Walao with Otto and JC. Hope you're all having a great night. But before we continue, just want to give you guys a reminder, if you're listening and you have any thoughts on this interview or the tracks that we've been playing tonight, text us on 5395.
Or call us in the studio at 309-3879.
We do take calls.
We literally had a call last week.
We did, yeah.
I wish you should have just played that on air. Just have a conversation.
We should just play every call we get on air.
Yeah, be brave. Yeah. It's late at night. You can say crazy things.
You can, yeah.
Anyway, oh shoot, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we can swear on air at this time, you know. It's not. Anyway, but joining us right now in the studio is the wonderful Jalene.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited to be here with y'all, so.
I'm also really excited because, like, we both rarely have Filipinos in this room because, yeah. I don't know, I don't see many Filipino artists, like, that's very well-known or been familiarized in the scene, except for myself, Iris G, or even, like, that's it. Mm. Now I've been introduced to you, and I really love the music that you play.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm just excited, as I was saying to JC before, I'm just excited to be up in Auckland anyways, because there's just so many Asian artists up here, and, like, not gonna lie, there's, like, such a disparity in Wellington, and it's like, where's my melanin? So I'm so excited.
No, that's crazy to hear, like, to say as well, because, like, again, sorry, I'm gonna take my headphones off, because this is not working for me, but, like,
swap headphones.
No, we're all good to go, but, like, again, like, I'm really happy that, like, you're up here, because you're also not just here for this interview. You're also here for the Fan Asian Writing Camp sponsored by Big Fan. Mm-hmm. So, like, you being able to work with other Asian artists, we'll talk based on that later on. But first things first, how are you doing and how are you finding the space at BFM?
I'm doing great. I find, you know, I haven't done a lot of, like, in-person interviews, so this is really cute, guys. I'm gonna be so real with you. And, like, yeah, even just in, like, the small time that I've got to meet JC and Otto, they're the loveliest people already.
Aww,
so yeah,
thank you.
It just made me so excited for this chat. So I'm feeling good. I hope you guys are too.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? Sorry, we're doing, like, a little bit of a headphones switch behind the
scenes. Sorry, all technical difficulties. But
anyway, one of the main things that we did want to talk about is earlier in October this year, you put out a single called Losing All of Me. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that song?
To be so for real, it was like my song about, like, my toxic relationship with music. Because I think, let's be for real, there's a point in an artist's career, I guess, when I feel like, oh, it depends on the artist, but when they get two hundies into everything, when, like, music takes over, you don't see your friends, you either lose friends, your relationship's deteriorating, and everything is for the grind and for the hustle for music, but it's like, where am I even going with this? Do I even like this anymore? So that's kind of what Losing All of Me was, but put in a more fun and energetic song.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's very melancholic, and if you put it that way, because, like, not everyone can write that down and manifest it. Mm. Well, not really manifest it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just a point where it's just like, I kind of just need to be for real with myself. I think that was kind of like my wake-up call. That was the only song I wrote in 2024. And I'm normally, like, riding down as much as I can. So for this to be, like, the only one that came out, I feel like there's got to be something behind that. And so I felt it was important to just, like, address things and, yeah, be for real about, like, what it's like to be a musician at times. And, like, not everything's going to be sunshines and rainbows and hee-hee-ha, kiki, you know? Yeah.
No, because, like, and that is so, like you said, it's so real, because not many people, like I said before, will want to talk about it. So now we're doing it.
And reading the lyrics, it kind of feels almost like a song that's, like, personally directed towards a specific person, but you know, you're talking about the whole industry as a whole in Aotearoa and your experiences as an artist, and especially a Filipina artist working in that environment.
Yeah,
you know? Could you tell us a bit about how, you know, your background and as a Filipina artist has like shaped your experience in the music industry as well?
Otto, you are so like poignant, but
thank you.
This is a topic I've been wanting to talk about for ages, but I feel like it's just very like quietly sitting there that like, bro, there's something weird about the music industry when it comes to our brown artists. Sorry. But like,
go off.
It's like, for real, there's something about, if I'm being very poignant, white or like European industry made on European values, and then sometimes trying to incorporate in brown values or Māori values, say for example, like community, especially during music month. That always rubs me the wrong way, because especially during music month, why are people acting like corporate companies during Pride Month, where they're like, hee hee ha ha, rainbow during June, and then the moment it hits July, they're like saying all the Rainbow's slurs they gone. Want to. Yeah. But like, I mean, I feel like that's just a reflection of what the current industry is. And I feel like as much as we are, as our generation, it can be quite progressive, there's some ways where we're silently regressive, maybe to gain their, you know, our own favor or to gain like their own notoriety. But I mean, it's rough out for everyone there. So, and especially for brown artists. So that's why I've been more just aware and wanting to call out things, especially in my hometown, because there's few of us. Someone needs to say something.
There's a few of you guys down in Poneke, and that makes me really sad.
Girl, it makes me weep and cry internally every fucking day.
Well, now that you're here, and also that's not even like the best part, because you're here doing the Pan-Asian writing mm-hmm. camp with Big Fan, like I mentioned in the beginning. And I want to touch base on that, because you're surrounded by artists like you're also here. Oh, I forgot to mention Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Rommel that we interviewed a year ago, and you're also doing stuff with Sincere Sapling. You're also doing stuff with Aaron G. Do you want to like talk a little bit about your experience currently with the writing camp?
Yeah, I mean, we literally just had our first day today, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, like, not gonna lie, Auckland has so many extra opportunities, like these songwriting camps, Asian artists. Like, one, like I've mentioned, we barely have any Asian artists in Wellington. Two, Wellington is not that collaborative. It was so gaggy and goopy to me that like people actually hire out studio time just to write a song. Because in Wellington, you're here, you've already written your song, either with your band or yourself, and you go to producer, and the only time you use a studio is when you're recording it. Because am I allowed to swear?
You're allowed to.
Shit's expensive, especially in Wellington. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, cost... What's the term?
Cost of living.
Cost of living crisis. Like, it's terrible. And then Wellington is even worse. And it's like, where they don't want to fund the arts, especially when it's an artful city. So it was just really exciting when, again, I could be surrounded by Asian artists and we just get to create music.
Because you do stuff from like 10 to 6, like you told me earlier, is like you're going to be doing this for a week, and this was just day one. Because, and do you have any expectations? Because, sorry, I'm going to be calling people out right now, but do you have a favorite artist that you're wanting to write with at the moment?
Girl, I'm going to be honest. I was just kind of gagged I made it in.
That is so real, because like I'm going to be real with you right now. I felt really out of place because I wanted to be on that camp because there's so many artists that I want to work with.
Yeah.
And you being there is like, oh my gosh, hearing you say it, I'm like, oh gosh, please, Big Fan, just get me in there.
I think, I partially think that I kind of made it through the door because I emailed being like, I'm coming up to Auckland. When are the results going to come out? So I think me being proactive and being like, yeah, I'm going to be in your city, maybe hopefully edged me a bit more. But part of me hopes that they were like, oh, we like this person. But I also think that might have helped a bit. So I think being proactive and talking to the people, just maybe.
Slide right in. Oh my goodness. Because like you being proactive really did help your case, because now we get to hear more stuff from you in the future if you do release these songs that you write with these artists.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And just kind of going back to what you were saying, you know, you said Poor Naked doesn't feel very collaborative. Mm. Everything's very Eurocentric down there. Has mm-hmm. being in this program made you feel like there's a new way for you to like write music? Like, has this program been sort of a breath of fresh air from like, you know, what you've been experiencing back in Wellington?
Oh yeah. Like back home, I'm, you know, it's very like do it yourself. I'm writing all the songs that I make by myself. And like, you know, I have my lovely music partner, Jack Hegarty, who produces everything as well. But at the end of the day, it's my song, my lyrics, my story. And it's just so refreshing. I think especially at this point where I don't have any new ideas. I did a retreat with Jack and we bashed out all the song ideas that I had brewing in my head for the past like year. And just to come like with a fresh mind and just have people come in with their own ideas and their own backgrounds and talents. Oh, it absolutely just tingles my brain in the bestest way. So I it does feel like a fresh breath of air, and it's just so exciting to see people open and collaborative.
I think you should just move up here at this point.
Girl, I am very tempted. do not tempt me even more. So I've been saying back to my friends at home, guys, I might do it.
Well, if it helps your case, because I'm looking for another writer to like work with, and especially a Filipino one. So if you're down, I'm pushing myself to you as we speak, because like, again, your music really speaks out to me and I'm loving it.
Thank you. I mean, if I move up, You'll be one of the first people to know.
Just tap your phone and be like, girl, I'm here. I'm right here.
Pookie, hit me up.
Girl, I'm right here. I will be there. Just send me the addy and I will be there.
Kamusta?
How are you? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I was just going to continue on with Jack because, like you said, you've done most of your work with him. Can you please just like talk to us about working with him? Because he's just been your day one producer, songwriter, collaborator.
Yeah. Starting from the beginning, we met like in high school really briefly because he was the producer for my friend, also a Filipino musician, Domachino. Gag and Goop.
Gag and Goop.
But
Another one.
But we like briefly met through him at like a choir event. And then we ended
up so Filipino. I'm so sorry to like interrupt you, but that is such a Filipino thing. Was it at a church, if you don't mind me asking?
Hindi. Nah. It was a school thing.
It still feels like a church thing.
I mean, I did go to Catholic school.
I fucking knew it.
But like, I became friends with Domachino the year before, and then Jack's school joined. And then, so he was just there. And I was just like, okay, hi. And then that was it. And then turns out we ended up studying like the same degree. And and because we were the, like one of the few people who were from Wellington studying our degree, we just kind of connected and we're like, bro, Wellington, am I right? And then that eventually turned into like a, hey, do you want to work on this song I've been thinking about? And then again, that just kept snowballing into like what we have now. He's now, yeah, like my producer, my keyboardist and sometimes guitarist in my band. He kind of is just like a partner, yeah, just a music partner who I'm just like have to rely on, so I'm not absolutely dying by myself. And yeah, he really is my day one. And I think, you know, whatever accomplishment I get, I would happily share with him, because he is the GOAT. He is the bestest. And yeah, like, and even in like in our own projects and in any projects he does outside of me, I just hope that he does the best, and I hope he thrives, and I hope he helps me thrive as well. And
again, you guys should just move up to Auckland. I'm still gonna be pitching this throughout this interview, because like,
I think he's listening, so Jack, move up to Auckland with me.
You guys could literally just start like a music flat. I would be keen to join that flat. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that flat would be good, because speaking of like you guys being day ones, you guys have like that similar vibe to like most Wellington like students who did music school.
Yeah,
that would be so goated. And now that you guys are actually doing it together outside of that is sick.
I mean, I've been putting it in his ear, like, hey Jack, I think there's more opportunities in Auckland. I'm just saying, I know you want to do audio engineering. I know there's so many more places up here.
Literally, like, yeah. You guys have a foot in the door now thanks to Big Fan. So, like,
yeah. I just got to keep. Just gotta keep moving. Yeah,
just gotta keep moving it
through. Moving and pushing the line a bit.
And it's so easy now for you.
Yeah.
Like at the end of, well, not at the end of the day, there's still gonna be more.
Yeah.
But moving, sorry, we're gonna keep moving forward because I don't wanna like yap as Filipinos do. Like, where is it? Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about like you culturally and historically. Yeah.
Historically,
because like
back in the 1800s,
back in the colonization years,
back in the Spanish colonization,
before the Big Bang.
But anyway, being a Filipino artist, can you talk to us about your upbringing? Because you must have been introduced to like Filipino artists growing up.
I mean,
like at least a little bit.
I mean, The idol that I had growing up was Lea Salonga, of course.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, I grew up in a household where we just had musical theater DVDs. And so...
No OPM?
Surprisingly, not much OPM. My dad was a Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie man.
Not Diana Ross?
No, Police. The Police kind of guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Your dad and my dad could actually get along because... My dad loves the Police, so they could bond.
My dad would jam that all the time.
Sorry, I'm going off topic a little bit, but I bought him like this Police vinyl with the album of the song "Every Breath You Take." I'm pretty sure it's just a debut. I'm not a big fan of that, but like me and your dad and my dad, we should just.
I'll bring him up to Auckland
again. Another reason why you should come up to Auckland a bit more. But with like the background that you're growing with, like, so Lea Salonga, did that help with your music in any way?
I think...
Like an influence?
I think just having like Filipino culture in my life, like being open to just singing around, being like encouraged to sing, and being like, praised if I was like doing good and stuff. And I remember there were some times when like I was growing up and my dad... He noticed that I would sing a lot, and he would even just like try to coach me a bit just so I can get better. I like really remembered those in my head. And like my dad, he's not like the most stoic man, but he's not the most like goofy hee hee either. So those moments are so touching me. So just to have that environment was, I feel like, has really influenced how my music has developed. I think compared to a lot of like indie musicians in Wellington, I feel like I'm more of like a belter, and I'm more chaotic, and I'm more open to just being powerful, which I've come across a lot of people being like, oh, you don't seem like that, you're really tiny and stuff. And I'm like,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, girl, let me show you my pipes, you know? So
you have no idea who you're dealing with. You're literally speaking to a Filipino.
Like, why are you gagged and gooped when you know the whole nation can sing? Like,
only 80% of the nation can sing.
Only
only 8. Well, no, it's probably less than that. It's probably like 40%. Which is still a lot, though, if you think about it.
The rest of us are nurses and doctors.
The rest of us are basketball players.
We're basketball players.
The rest of us are comedians.
Or have really strong calves.
Again, I'm just really loving another Filipino presence in this room. It brings me home. Because that kind of just leads up to the next question as well. It's like, when you make music... in the future or planning on doing it, would you add your Filipino like aesthetic, culture and language into your artistry?
I definitely want to when I get better at Tagalog. I think
I will teach you.
Yeah, I was born context. I was born and raised in Wellington, so English is my first language, and I'm still like learning bits and pieces. And it's harder because my mom's side, they're from my mom's side's from like Iloilo, but then specifically they're from this place called Gimbal. And they speak this thing called Kineraya, where o-o, which means yes, turns into hood. And like all the L's turn into R's. And
did
so-
you, wait, say that word again? Hood. The Filipino in me is like, mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Hood.
Hood. It sounds like you're saying worm.
No,
girl. Hood is like a silent version of uud.
No, girl. It's yeah.
Yeah, in Tagalog. Yes. I'm sorry.
In Kineraya.
In Kineraya.
Yeah. And so I think the mix of everyone speaking their own dialect was, or like their own language, was so trippy at home. So I never locked into like one Filipino language. But I did release a song way back in 2022 called Dayuhan. And it was all about when I was a bit more not attached to my Filipino culture when I was growing up. By that time, I was like, locked and loaded, I love being Pinoy pride! We Philippines! But, you know, it was a song about the times when I was not in that space. You know, I wasn't supported by supportive Filipinos, especially around my age. But that changed when I went into high school, because suddenly you go into a Catholic all-girls high school and all the Filipino girls are there. But
exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, yeah, and that's where I incorporated some Tagalog lyrics and stuff. But I definitely do want to do a song in future where it does incorporate Tagalog lyrics, but is more celebratory of who I am and where I've come from and that journey. And, it, you know, me being this Kiwi Pino type of kid.
Kiwi Pino.
I'm kind of going off of that. You know, earlier you mentioned some of the Filipino artists that you grew up with that were introduced to you by your parents. Yeah. Are there any current Filipino artists, either from the Philippines itself or like, you know, the diaspora that you've been listening to that you are either inspired by or that you just like?
I mean, you got to shout out the bros, Biba Doobie and Grant Perez, like respectively from the UK and Australia. They're really doing the leaps and bounds for indie Filipino artists, you know.
Can I introduce you to another one? I'm pretty sure you may have already know about this person. Lynn Lapid.
Lynn Lapid.
We gotta introduce her to Lynn Lapid in this next one, because like her being in America, like growing up in LA, she feels like she reminds me of you a little bit. Very bubbly, very all over the place in a good way.
Yeah.
Because like it just feels like you're floating when you do listen to her music. Mm. And again, it's such a good like vibe when I introduce another artist to another artist. So yeah, Lynn Lapid, go listen to her.
I will put that down as soon as we're done with this interview. I'm tapping it in. But I do got a shout out. Like I mentioned before, I do got a shout out my bro Domachino. I feel like, if I'm being very blunt, he hasn't had enough kudos in New Zealand. I mean, I don't know. I know that R&B is not like the biggest scene in New Zealand, but people love R&B here. Yeah. Like, let's be so for real. So I really want to give a shout out to my bro Domachino. Like, he's making the leaps and bounds overseas. We got to give him some love back here in Aotearoa. Stream him. If you want, like, sultry, fuckboy R&B, or even like just moody good R&B, put him on.
Is he like is he like your typical Filipino boy, very like F-boy?
He used to be.
Okay, he's not your typical Filipino that looks F-boy. That's good.
I don't think so anymore. I think he grew up over the years. I've seen him grow up.
Did he glow up?
Oh, he's always been a pretty boy.
Okay.
We got to shout out my bro, pretty boy, Domachino.
Oh my goodness. Because like, again, like I'm going to,
going to withhold.
Going to withhold that because I don't want to
wait.
I actually had a question just about the song itself, actually, just kind of going back to that. You know, you wrote a song about, you know, sort of being disillusioned with the music industry here in Aotearoa. And I guess like maybe losing yourself in the process of, you know, trying to fit into, you know, those Eurocentric values. What are some things that you did to, I guess, reorient yourself, that perhaps other musicians could do too?
I mean, it's just, I feel like it's plain and simple. Take a break. And to quote Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, take a break. Like, girl, I feel like that's the best remedy. Like, taking a break. Reconnecting with your loved ones, putting quality time into your loved ones, doing things outside of music that you want to do, whether, you know, any hobbies or even trying something new, if you don't got hobbies, like, it really is that simple. And it's not, I feel like people shouldn't think about it as like, I have to go through this break period and then I'll like, and like for a certain time and then I'll make it back in. It's like, no, like you got to do it when it's feeling right. It took me like, yeah, I released Lil Bluebird. That was like the last major release I did 2024. And then I didn't release anything until like May. Cause I was just like, no, this is not the time. This, I'm not there yet. And especially since the song that I released after in May each year was such a sentimental song, which was also around the music industry, but it was more in the fact of like when I was starting out, I wrote it when I was like feeling really like way behind where everyone is. When you know, when you're in that spot where everyone's like fast tracked and they're so far ahead and you want to reach to that point, but you'll never feel like you'll catch up to them. So that's what that song was about. Yeah, but I didn't, yeah, until May, I wasn't really feeling it. And I feel like, you know, especially, I've noticed a lot of Auckland artists, they really just pump out music like bam, bam, bam. And I'm just like, never, like, I know it's detrimental to the career technically, but I just need to take a break. Maybe I'll focus on something music that's not like Jolene, but like, maybe just like what I'm doing. I'm in a musical. I'm rehearsing for that soon. So like, I'm doing other stuff. That
a musical.
Yeah, a musical.
Which musical? Yeah. Which musical is this?
Catch Me If You Can.
That's not the music. No, the magician one, is it?
No, no, that's Now You See Me, Now You Don't. But nah, it's the one. Do you know that? It's based on the movie. You know the one with Leonardo DiCaprio where he pretends to be like a pilot and then he pretends to be a doctor and then pretends to be a lawyer.
No, I'm so sorry.
I've seen that. But
watch it. It has Tom Hanks as well. It's actually kind of gaggy. I didn't watch it until I was auditioning for the musical. And I was like, what does this eat? So they made a musical version of that on Broadway in like 2011. And
plugging
then, yeah.
Plugging in that. Plugging then, in that.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I get so much fulfillment out of like doing other musical ventures. So I think it's, yeah, taking a break, but also like maybe tapping into something else that isn't just being an artist. Which I feel like a lot of New Zealand artists specifically need to realize that like being an artist alone won't pay the bills typically, unless you're in like that 1% where you do, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then going forward, you know, aside from, you know, your musical theater production coming up, what's next for you? You know, you're collaborating with some really great artists, Asian artists here in Tamaki this week, you know, are there any collabs that you might have on the way or...
I mean, I'm with the Pan Asian fan camp. I'm just hoping to see what happens. I'm even just excited just to be a co-writer, not even to be the artist, just to like write for someone else. I find that so exciting. So I hope there's some collaboration out of that. I am doing a collab song with my friend Toby Sussex, very lovely man. So I'll be hopefully releasing that soon next year. In the earlier parts. And then, yeah, outside of like music artist Jolene, I'm helping run festivals at the moment. That's cool. That's exciting. I've never gotten to do that before. It's some local Wellington festivals. And it's been so fun, so exciting. I'm even specifically running a stage at Newtown Fest about like Asian artists. And that gives me such fulfillment. And so exciting. So, yeah, that's what I'm up to.
And then... aside from, you know, Newtown Fest and, again, your musical theater production, do you have any gigs of your own that you'd like to plug?
Last one for the year. If you want a nice little acoustic gig back in Wellington, if you're in Wellington, and you happen to be there on December 7th, and you want to support Palestine, if you want to support Palestine, I'm doing this gig, little acoustic gig with Danica Bryant and Floyd Marsden. All the funds will be going to, I don't know the charity specifically, but it's for Palestinian children's relief. And this last gig of the year. So if you want to make it count and you haven't seen me yet, go to that one. Amazing. I highly suggest that.
Amazing. Go.
Yeah.
Just go.
Well, yeah.
Run.
And thanks for, thank you for like getting involved in that as well, you know.
I mean, as you know, it's, you do your part, I think, as much as you can. It's not easy for everyone to have the ability to donate money in this cost of living crisis. So like, yeah, when me and my friends have the opportunity to, like, Floyd was like, can we just donate all the funds to this charity? And we were just like, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and for chatting with us. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. This is probably one of, if not like the most fun and fulfilling interviews I've ever done. So thank you so much.
Did it feel like therapy? Sorry, Otto.
No, I was just saying, very like proud to like hear someone say that. You know?
Oh, someone has texted in. That movie is based on a true story. Jamie, any music for?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Toby or is this Jack?
What does it say?
That movie is based on a true story. Jamie, any music forthcoming? Jamie, if this is Jack, anyway.
I don't know, Jamie, but yes, that is true. Catch Me If You Can is based on a true story.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.